Thank you for joining us for the segment of Notable People with your host, Andrea Schwartz, where we introduce you to some notable people making significant contributions toward furthering the kingdom of Christ.
Welcome to this edition of Notable People. Today I have as my guest Kevin Swanson, who is the director of Generations with Vision, which is a ministry he founded to strengthen homeschool families around the country. He has also served as the executive director of the Christian Home Educators of Colorado for the last 9 years, and he is a featured speaker at many homeschool conventions. Welcome, Kevin.
It's great to be with you. Thank you, Andrea.
Okay, now one of the things that makes you unusual is the fact that you're not just a homeschooling father, but you're a homeschooling father who he himself was homeschooled.
Yes, I'm on the second generation now. I was homeschooled back in the 60s and 70s. My mother first taught me to read in 1968 in Oregon, but we spent most of our growing up years in Japan where my folks homeschooled us on the islands.
Okay, so the reason they homeschooled you was because you were a family that traveled, or was it a principled reason?
Well, I asked my dad why he went to Japan as a missionary back in 1969, and I asked him the question a few years ago, and my father said he was teaching American public schools in the 1950s, American private schools in the 1960s, came to the decision in 1969 that he did not want to raise his children in this culture, so he took us out of the culture and raised us on an island. And so that was really definitive for our beginning. Now, he had the opportunity to go to the Philippines to raise us there, but it turned out that the mission board wanted to put us in a boarding school in the Philippines. My father said, not going to happen. So we wound up in Japan. Bottom line is we were in Japan because my father wanted his children with him, and he wanted us out of the American culture. So what was happening in the 1960s, saw the rise of evolution, what was happening in the public schools, saw the youth culture and the rebellion of youth culture in the 1960s and knew that it was going to be total disaster in the next generation or so. So he took us out of the culture and raised us on an island.
Now you say us. Are you referring to brothers and sisters?
Six of us. There are six of us. And today I'm happy to say all six serving God in some capacity somewhere around the world today, many of whom are second-generation homeschoolers, and we should have a third generation here shortly.
So he was a missionary to Japan. Would you say that he had a separatist mindset, kind of like Phil's?
Yeah. It was more separatist than Puritan, and I talk about the tension of Puritans and separatists in my book, The Second Mayflower. But and we understand that tension. But I think that the Christian always lives with that tension. We're constantly not of the world, but we're in the world. We're impacting the world to some extent or another. And that's the way my father felt our impact upon the Japanese culture would be.
Well, you're hardly a separatist now.
Hardly, but we do separate to the extent that we're not really doing all that much to uphold the public schools, but we're trying to radically reform education by means of separating and abandoning the present structures and reconstructing new systems.
Okay, so you speak about reconstruction, and reconstruction is a term that's often associated with R.J. Rush Dooney. How has his writing and his perspective influence your Generations with Vision?
Okay, here's what happened to Kevin Swanson. Kevin Swanson graduated from his home school in 1981, went to a junior college, transferred to a university, one of the CSUs, California State Universities, and I got a hold of Francis Schaeffer's works by 1983-84, became a radical pro-life activist early on, and was part of a coalition of American pro-life university students at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, in 1983-84, somewhere in there, and then was elected student body president of the university in 1986. So I'm sitting there saying, okay, Francis Schaeffer told us to get involved. We're supposed to make an impact on the culture for God, but for what purpose? What agenda? What do we do? By what standard? You know, that was the question that kept hitting me, and then we got a hold of Cal Sidon report. You know, the not the bound one, but the little 8.5 by 11. Folded sheet that was sent in the envelope during the 1980s. So I got a hold of the Chalcedon Report and began to read Rush Dooney and Bonson and others and discovered that really there was an agenda, there was a standard. We could apply a standard. Once we got involved in culture, once we got involved in education and politics and economics and business and these other things, we really could take the Bible and make relevant application of that word to life. And that was important to me.
And so after that, did you immediately move into this Generations with Vision, or did you try your hand at a bunch of other things?
No, I tried my hand at politics mainly. as I was student body president. I made some impact on some things, but eventually wound up running for governor of Colorado in 1994. Did not win. Ran against two candidates, Republican, Democrat, both rabidly pro-abortion, wanted government money paying for abortions, you know, wanted big government. The typical rhino was running against a Democrat. And so I ran as a candidate and garnered about 4% of the vote as a third-party candidate. Wrote a couple of books, got involved in the homeschool movement in the 90s, 94, 95, we were involved. Joined Christian Home Educators of Colorado in 1999. As executive director, led that organization for about 11 years, and have been heavily involved in home education since then. And that's where Generations with Vision came from. We just went around the nation trying to find people willing to listen to a biblical perspective on things, a biblical worldview, et cetera, and found that homeschoolers seemed to be more interested in breaking out of this taking the electrodes off their brains and looking at the world by means of a different worldview. Homeschoolers were doing it. Maybe a few other people, some few Christian school movements that are adding a little bit to the biblical worldview. But for the most part right now, I find the most success we have is with home educators.
And this all kind of ballooned into a radio program, which, according to your website, is the world's largest homeschooling and biblical worldview program that there is on the radio.
Well, yeah, it is, and it's a focused market. It's homeschoolers. But you know what? It's a growing market. We've got some 2.6, 2.7 million homeschoolers today. That's doubled since 2000. It's one reason why I'm very encouraged. Homeschooling movement's growing. Not to say that just because someone homeschools, they're doing it right, they've got a good biblical worldview, et cetera. It's not a panacea, granted. But at least the electrodes are off, and they're listening to speakers like me, and there's others that are bringing a biblical worldview to bear. And we're beginning to see a burgeoning movement. We're really, I think, starting to see literally hundreds of thousands of families listening to biblical worldview, understanding how important it is to apply it, and beginning to see the dry rot of social collapse that has occurred because for the last 200 years we have inculcated a materialistic worldview.
Well, I met you in person in the spring of this year at a homeschool convention in the San Francisco Bay Area. And for anybody who has ever witnessed Kevin in person, you'll know what I'm talking about, his animated presentation. He doesn't hold back, and he gives it all. And, you know, being in the San Francisco Bay Area and sitting in this audience, I was wondering how he would come across. And I was amazed at how he had every man's attention. And I was encouraged because the message you were saying at the time was about fathers leading their families, but not just leading their families in a machismo way, leading their families to further God's kingdom. And I can see why you're hopeful because of the response that you're getting with people who are saying, show me what to do. I didn't have this kind of education. I want to give my children the kind of education I never had.
And Andrea, there's a real sense in which I think people understand that our backs are against the wall. We're effectively right on the cliff of the breakdown of education. Certainly the family is incredibly broken down. 41% of kids born without fathers last year, up from 6% in 1970. That's a sevenfold increase in the disintegration of the family. And 70% of kids will not have mother and father for those 18 years. We're just seeing the wholesale breakdown of character, of education. In fact, there's an article in Newsweek magazine on education just came out this last week, and they said these school reforms, we've been seeing them since 1970s, 1960s, school reform, every year, school reform, but they never work. And the reason they don't work is because of the breakdown of the character of these children that attend these schools. So the fact is that the character of the nation is utterly broken down. The schools are failing. Education is failing. I think what's happening right now is people are coming to our conferences asking the question, what am I doing in this handbasket? And where are we going? Mm-hmm. And they know there's something wrong. They know there's something that there's no question whatsoever about the fact that there is something wrong. People know that. Well, it's an opportunity for us to present the solution. Back when Rush, Dooney, and Schaefer and others were writing in the 50s and 60s, things were still looking halfway decent. The family was still intact. The culture was not rotted to pieces. Elvis Presley was still concerned about his reputation as a virgin. He didn't want people to know that he was sleeping around. You know, that was really, really important, Elvis Presley in 1953. But today, you know, it's just the culture is utterly, utterly destroyed. And so I think we have a lot of opportunity to bring a lot of the ideas that some of these great Christian men were bringing to us in the 50s and 60s to a wider audience in our generation.
And I think one of the things that's important to remember is that what makes the homeschool movement unique is that it's never been a top-down movement. It's been a bottom-up movement. Families wanting to obey God according to the Bible, to teaching their children not only how not to be polluted by the world, but how to serve in the world. And I think a lot of the materials that come out of your organization are meant expressly to help parents and students be in a position to engage.
And it's strategic, Andrea. It's a strategic thing. The way you educate your children, it will really direct the future culture of the nation. The enemy knows this. We're just now figuring it out. We've got to get to education. And that, of course, is why the Christian schooling movement in the 1960s was important. The homeschool movement in the 1980s was important. We realized strategically we're going to lose. We're going to lose this battle. We'll lose every battle if we lose the education battle.
But you're not exactly despondent about the future, because I've heard you. I've heard you talk about the true encouragement. So in the face of our backs being up against the wall, why are you encouraged?
Well, I'm encouraged, number one, because this is God's modus operandi. This is the kind of scenario that God just loves to set up in history. Just read the history books. And, you know, all the way from Gideon and his 300 men against the Midianites, and all the way from the 12 disciples that turned the world upside down. And you remember the great general who fought the Muslim hordes at Malta. And, I mean, what a tremendous, tremendous example in history of how the Christian world was preserved there at Malta, with just a handful of soldiers against hundreds of thousands of Muslims that were attacking Europe at that time. What we find in history is God often sets these things up this way. And granted, we are terribly, terribly outnumbered. We are sitting in Helm's Deep. We've got a couple of elves and dwarves, and we've got a few soldiers, and we've got our women and children in the back, and 15,000 orcs have come down over the mountainside, and they're attacking. But it's okay. We're going to make it. We're going to work. This is going to work. This is really going to work. Trust God on this one, you know. I think that's where we are right now in history, and I'm encouraged. I am really encouraged. I think what we're looking for, though, Andrea, is what Rush Denny would call a principled, committed minority. That's the goal. We're not looking for 51%. We're never looking for 51%. We don't need 51%. But it can't just be 10 people. You know, it can't just be 40 people. It's got to be a couple of 2, 3%. We got to get just a handful of guys who are drinking water at the brook with their hands. You know, we need the Gideon's 300. We do need that. You can't go at it with just me and my buddy. We're in a nation of 300 million people. We need at least a couple of million. We need a minority, and that's what we're focused on. That's what we're discipling. Now, I've got 8 or 9 guys in my basement that I disciple on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We call them a Shepherd Center. It's a new concept in mentorship. We're trying to bring into education as well. But we're raising up the next generation, and hopefully we'll have a committed, principled minority that have been carefully educated and discipled in God's Word day in and day out for 18 years, and hopefully with a little help from the church and discipleship centers, separate centers like what we have here in our basement.
So do you export that model so you can help other men in other areas of the country or the world develop this mentoring sort of...
You know, we are really hoping to do this. We have a program called Apprenticeship Mentorship Entrepreneurship, AMEprogram.com. That's AMEprogram.com that we have put on the web. We're getting some interest in it, but this is, I believe, the future of what I would call higher education, or education beyond mom and dad. And we're trying to bring this concept out. Obviously, this is the first year we've done. Now, I've done some mentorship with a young man named Chad Roach for about 4 years. So we've done some mentorship, but we're broadening it. We're doing it with 8 or 9 guys now in our basement. It's called a Shepherd Center, and we're hopefully planning to replicate that all over the country. We've got to have hundreds of thousands of discipleship-oriented ministries and mentorships going on if we're going to accomplish what we want to accomplish.
Now, let me ask you this question. The culture has gone, certainly since the latter part of the 20th century now, where people are holding off getting married. They have to go through their college. They have to get themselves heavily in debt, apparently. And then you just see family life taking longer and longer to begin. Is that a model that you think is a good one or a bad one for homeschooling graduates and people who have been really focused on not following the patterns of the humanistic system?
Well, it's just indicative of the breakdown of a nation, of the character of a nation. 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970, according to Newsweek magazine. This was about 2 years ago. So 70% of young men not growing up, they're not getting married. I ask the question sometimes to homeschool audiences, why do homeschooling moms come home to prepare their daughters to leave home? Because this is sort of the scenario that we've created for ourselves. And they obviously want to give their daughters a good education. They want their daughters to get good jobs. And why do they prepare their daughters to leave home? The answer is obvious. 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age. They're going to marry losers who aren't going to provide for them. They're probably going to get a divorce. That's the kind of thing they're counting on. I just read another statistic, 13 times more shack-ups today than there were in 1970. So the shack-up rate is through the ceiling. We're just seeing everything falling apart. This is just the explosion. The nuclear bomb has gone off on the family. So you know, we can't just fix this thing with a few Band-Aids. We can't. People don't I think understand the magnitude of the problem. The problem calls out for a discipleship, a mentorship. We got to prepare our young men. The breakdown of just about everything, I think, is due to the breakdown of the character of young men. We don't have enough young men, and to a great extent, homeschooling isn't doing it for young men. As a leader in the homeschool movement for 12 years, I'll tell you, Andrea, number one problem in the homeschool market is young men. Homeschooling does a little bit for little guys when mom is trying to teach them how to read and get them going, but that little boy needs his dad. That little boy, the only way he's going to figure out how to become a man is by hanging out with a man, being discipled by a man. And hopefully his father or maybe a Jesus will come by and grab a Peter and an Andrew or James and John from their father Zebedee and begin to do that discipleship for 3 years. And that's what we're doing in the Shepherd Center. So I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise our children with a proper biblical worldview. We're trying to develop character, because only way we're going to be free from the tyranny that's come down upon us. And you made the point about how we're so much more enslaved today than we've been. That's absolutely true. We're in 20 times more debt slavery to banks adjusted for inflation than we were in 1900. That's a per household number. We're 20 times more debt slavery, 20 times more debt slavery, 6 times more government slavery as a percentage of the gross national income. The government's controlling 6 times higher percentage of the gross national income now than they were in 1900. We're in 6 times more government slavery, 20 times more bank slavery, and I'd say about 10 to 20 times more corporate slavery than we were in 1900. Our goal is to raise our children a strong character. It's going to take character if our children are going to live as free men and free women in the years to come. And also, I think, to build what I would call family oikonomias. And this is something that we talked about when you were on my program. So important to bring back the household economy and the idea that the household works together as a team and should not be enslaved and fragmented by the slave state fascist-driven corporations.
So in actual fact, we're at the beginning rather than at the middle or the end of our enterprise, but we shouldn't despair, because history gives us thousands of years of seeing how when people respond to what God says to do, he blesses them. And when they decide to go their own way, they have a hard go of it. So like you, I see that a lot of the circumstances that are happening today are creating a hunger and a thirst for the sort of things that a biblical worldview, a Reconstructionist perspective, brings to the equation.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. Very, very well put. We're on the front end of this. I just see us as just barely getting the vision. That's where I see it. Now, my father got a little piece of the vision. In fact, my father's out here to visit us again this last week, and he and I sat down and we talked about the vision, how he started the vision in the 1960s to 70s. He says the vision's starting to become clearer for him now, finally, after 40 years, however long it's been, 50 years, that he's been working with this vision. But I think the vision is just now beginning to clarify. The first couple of generations tried the Christian schooling, the homeschooling movement, but now we're starting to see how all the pieces are fitting together. We're starting to see how the family is being reconstructed. We're starting to see how economies are going to be reconstructed. We're starting to see how politics will be affected. Of course, politics is only a derivative of trying to get the family back together and churches back together and private charity and diaconates within the churches and things, you know. So we just now are starting to get all these pieces, and so many, many people are responding. I'll tell you, Andrea, our mission with Generations with Vision has doubled in size in the last 2 years. We've been at it for 9 years, but this last year has just been a waterfall of interest from all over the United States. We're talking about tens of thousands of people are starting to really get excited. And these are new folks that you know have never heard these ideas before.
Right. And so we don't really have to say these are ideas that people have rejected. In many cases, these are ideas people have never heard, especially if they have grown up in the latter part of the 20th century, have been educated in public school systems. They really don't know what it means to exercise liberty under God.
That's exactly right. And you know what? You step out into these conferences, and we typically call it vision. And vision is a great word, biblical word. Without a vision, the people perish, but he who keeps the law happy is he. And all we're basically doing is saying, here's the antithesis. Here's what's done for us. Here's how it's destroyed the family. Here's how it's destroyed education. And you know what? Here's what the Word of God has to say about that. And here's what the Bible says about education. Here's what the Bible says about economics and about debt and about all these different things. And people, you know, again, people are responding to it because of how broken down our culture is today. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to see ongoing economic problems, especially with the breakdown of education, the breakdown of character. 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age. We're in a man session, he session right now. Women are making more money than men are for the first time. I just read that story. And men aren't making very much money. Men are unemployed. There are more women in the workforce today than men. Women are doing most of the work. Women will be the leaders in the years to come to try to salvage the republic, try to save the last few remnants of the empire. So, you know, we're going to see the economy really struggle, really struggle. We're not going to retain this great economy. The gods of materialism are dying, but we worship and serve the true and living God, and we're going to rebuild our systems not upon a materialistic worldview, but upon a worldview that expresses the kingdom of God as preeminent and the discipleship of our children as more important than getting our kids into Harvard so they can get a good job, you know.
Right. And I think the idea is that we shouldn't want to forestall the collapse of humanistic institutions. Yes, it'd be painful. Yes, it's difficult if you can't get the services that you're used to getting because everything had to be turned over to the state and now they can't handle it. You have to look at this as God opening the door and saying, okay, now go in and lead. All the more reason why homeschooling families have to not only educate the children, but the parents need to educate themselves to be able to discern what the real issue is in a particular situation and then apply biblical principles to that situation.
Yes, and I think parents are going to have to stop trusting the experts, and that's been really the worldview that's imposed on us. The experts, the social planners, the great bureaucracies, even the churches are going to tell us exactly how children are going to be educated, discipled, and so forth. Actually, the Word of God points to moms and dads, so you're responsible. You're the ones responsible for raising your children, for teaching them, for inculcating the proper worldview and ideas. And therefore, yeah, there's no excuse for parents to be uneducated in these areas.
Right. And especially the homemakers who have been degraded by the society and the media. The fact is, and I've said this over and over in many places, the enemy wants moms out of the house. And so that's his major strategy. Remove a mom from the house, then you lose the mediator, you lose the coordinator, you lose the manager. And now what you have, that those functions are going to be replaced by someone else.
And you're going to lose your economy. You will lose your economy. The reason 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age is because nobody discipled them. It's because 64% of little boys under 6 years of age are latchkey. So 64% of little boys under six are latchkey produces the lack of character you see after four to five, six generations of this kind of problem. And then you have homeschool moms come home to raise their daughters to leave the home so that they're going to be 89, 95% of little boys under six latchkey, so that in the year 2030, 99% of boys will not be grown up by 30 years or 35 years of age. And that's how you see the utter implosion of character in a culture. So we got to get out of that. We got to get out of these killer cycles that are ruining us. And it's going to be, I think it begins with mom coming home and discipling those little kids. But it also going to be involved with this raising up of an oikonomia, an economic system where the entire family can engage, so that dad is not disengaged, so that his work is not fragmented or compartmentalized away from the family, away from worship, away from the other areas of his life. And we live in compartmentalized lives, and that has just utterly killed the family.
Okay, now let me ask you maybe a controversial question. So you have this phenomenon with young men who are not mature, and yet they're no doubt going to want to begin families, and maybe they actually will have a wife who understands the issues better than they. So how do we get to where you want to go from where we are? Certainly you're not encouraging women not to get married. You're not encouraging men not to get married. What happens to the couple that says, we get it, we know we're not prepared? How would you say they can rapidly be in a position to offer something of substance to the children that they want to have?
Well, I mean, you know what? You can start at any point and get discipled by the Word of God and by great disciples. I would encourage them to tune into programs like yours or programs like mine, GenerationsWithVision.com. We have a daily radio program. We have so many people that are beginning to get this vision. We've talked actually a lot about young men, young women not growing up. We have some wonderful, wonderful writers out there that are addressing this issue in some wonderful books. But I'd say more than anything else, it is time right now to begin to engage discipleship with our young men. I mean, if you've got young men in your church, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years of age, it is time right now to start the mentorships, to get older men to do the Titus 2 responsibilities and begin to nurture them and mentor them. And that's what we're doing. We've got anywhere from 16 to 21-year-old men who are in our Shepherd Center, and we're discipling them, and they're learning how to be future fathers, future hopefully elders and deacons and pastors for the church as well.
All right. So what's your upcoming schedule? Are you still pretty active in the fall in conference speaking?
Well, we've got a Worldview Conference or a Reformation Conference in Southern Illinois. That's on our website right now. We've also got the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival down in San Antonio towards the end of October. It's a wonderful, wonderful event that Doug Phillips puts on, again, trying to bring film and movies and the visual medium under the dominion of Jesus Christ. And we will expect 3,000-4,000 people at that film festival. That's just growing in leaps and bounds every single year. And that pretty much wraps up our year. And then next year we've got probably 10, 15 conferences in different states around the United States scheduled.
One thing I should add, and I think you'll probably support me in this perspective, that's a great place for families to go as families, these various conferences and film festivals and worldview conferences, because they're likely to run into other families who experience the same sort of angst over what about the future? Well, where will my children find spouses? And it's a great place to find like-minded people, don't you think?
We call it a great pool. You know, you've got to get your kids into the right pool if they're going to marry in the right pool. And, yeah, that's one of the secret alternative motives for putting on these conferences.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I hope our listeners make use of all the features of your website. And keep up the good work, Kevin.
Thank you. You too. God bless your ministry, Andrea.
All righty.
Visit us on the web at www.notablepeople.org.